I bought a new hat. They canceled Easter. I used nail polish to cover the rust. I went to a taffy pull. The taffy won. I wore a see-through dress and nobody looked. I can't get no. No, no, no.
Welcome to Loveline. This is WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. It's 11:05 p.m., and I'm your host, DJ Taxonomist. With me in the studio tonight are, and I'll let you introduce yourselves,
Jordan,
Chris,
DJ Super Tonto,
and myself. Our regular DJ, Juan Leon, is out on assignment in Spain, I believe.
Yes, investigating various aspects of the Roman baths that were left over.
You can hear the
antiquity.
Screams from here.
I believe he brought one of those disposable cameras, too.
Interesting.
Several of them.
Juan will be back next week. And just a note to our listeners, the phones are once again working. So
yay.
We urge you to interrupt at any time with questions, comments, advice, or your own expert opinion. The topic for...
What's the number? 621 WRCT or 268 if you happen to be here on campus. That's 8 WRCT on those campus phones.
Area code 412, country code
1.
The topic for tonight is the taxonomy of the inner sanctum. And tonight we're going to be discussing various technical aspects of sex and sexuality. And I'd like to go around the room and ask my esteemed panelists to share one fact that they know about sex and sexuality. We'll start with you, Chris.
I think it's also important to point out that this is to be a very informative hour, and we're certainly very open to calls from experts or people with their own questions. We have a lot of information here in the station and in our WRCT sex library, which is quite extensive. If you have your own questions or you advice or other things you would like to share, always feel free to call.
WRCC will be making the sex library available on CD-ROM as a public service, but we'll have to resolve various technical details.
And the lawyers are certainly very interested in that as well. I actually did a considerable amount of research into the anus and just dove right into that and just found some really fascinating literature and things that I really didn't know, things that I think are actually very important.
Your own anus or anyone's anus?
Well, there's been a considerable amount of exploration, and it's a shame that Juan is not here with us tonight, because if you've been a regular Loveline listener, you'll may have remembered some early January conversations that I had with Juan on the show in regards to the prostate gland. And Juan actually, I guess, had done some experimentation on his own trying to find his prostate and didn't come up too successful there. So I hope he went back and continued. But what I was actually fascinated with in my research was, you may be interested to know that there are actually two muscle rings called sphincters which surround the anal opening. And this is actually very important because there's the internal and external sphincter. The external one is actually controlled by the central nervous system, like your hand or other.
The external ring is under my voluntary control.
Exactly. That's what you can tense and relax whenever you want. However, the internal sphincter is controlled by the involuntary or automatic part of the nervous system, which governs functions like heartbeat and stress response. So you actually have no control over that. And this is a very, very important thing, I think, in terms of some of the things which we'll probably be talking about a little later in the show in regards to other ways of enticing your partner, as it were. I'm going to hand over the fact-finding to Dr.
DJ Super Tonto.
DJ Super Tonto.
I have something just a little brief to mention I came across in my studies of the topic, and I had never heard the term pecker tracks before, and apparently, and this is just a little factoid that you can share with your friends, that would be sperm left over on a sheet or other similar object after masturbation is complete. And I'll give you a sample usage. John's mother found John's sheets full of pecker tracks.
Oh, dear.
Also known as sperm graveyard, I believe.
Yeah, I think that was the term that was coined a number of...
by someone really smart that we know. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, you've happened to accidentally inactivate one of my own childhood insecurities because when I was going through my adolescence and began to masturbate on a very regular basis...
How often would that be?
Well,
and do we really, really want to know?
I think I'd.
at least once a day, if not more. It depends sort of...
if not four? What?
If not more. It depends on how bored I was, I guess. But I would use these family linens and towels to sort of clean up afterwards, and I only discovered, you know, months and years later that I was leaving these indelible marks on all of the family towels. And it was really embarrassing. I mean, as you well know, maybe, bleach, there's no kind of... Mankind has not yet discovered the cleaner that gets semen stains out of linen. And so I basically ruined all the family's towels. My mother never mentioned it, which was actually really disturbing. So
I think the Kleenex option, while perhaps not as environmentally sound, maybe perhaps...
More discreet.
Yes.
Interesting.
As it were.
Another option I've heard employed is the monolithic towel for your entire adolescent period.
Yeah. But that tends to stand up by itself after several uses. It's...
Or the old grab your own underwear off the floor thing, because yes, you can kind of blame that on...
There's this whole notion...
I wouldn't have wanted to use my underwear.
There's another whole notion of swabbing the deck, which is another term which has been coined recently, but we don't need to get into that.
Well, maybe you could train a pet to clean the bathroom.
There's another whole story right
now. ASPCA is spreading down our address
WOCT
right now.
Does not
endorse bestiality where
swab
illegal.
The deck.
Wow.
So tonight, actually, my fascinating tidbit that I wanted to share was, I've heard people talk about how many calories there are in an average ejaculation. People say it's about 50 calories or so if you like swallow the person's semen. So I was actually curious from a physics point of view, how many actual units of energy were in an ejaculate. For example, if you converted that ejaculation into pure energy,
like joules?
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Not the family joules, but
very related.
The physical unit of energy, joules. And so I had one of our top scientists here at Carnegie Mellon do that computation, and it turns out, assuming that you ejaculate 5 grams of fluid, my question was, how long could you operate your computer and your monitor on the energy stored in your semen? If you assume a 200 watts of energy consumption, your 5 grams of semen would last you 71,000 years powering your computer.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. There's a lot of... they're talking about converting it to pure energy. It's like... It's a lot of power in that.
We waste so much.
Wow.
Sperm especially.
That's a...
So it's very... You can do the equations yourself. E equals MC squared. Just go from there.
The whole nine. Yeah.
And convert all the units appropriately. So that's what I had to share.
Fascinating. Excellent. Well, my fact is under the heading, in a great book, which is called The Encyclopedia of Unusual Sex Practices by Brenda Love, who could be a DJ on this show with that name, comes under the heading of cum etiquette. And
cum as in the ejaculation?
Yes.
Interesting.
And what they're talking about basically is that sometimes you'll notice that some people just don't taste so good when you go down on them. And it kind of gives, I guess this is very related to diet and lifestyle, because it gives what each of the tastes denotes about the person. And according to this book, it says that bitter would indicate a smoker, either cigarettes or marijuana, and alcohol use. Sharp would indicate red meats, sperm, asparagus, broccoli, spinach, and some vitamins.
What? Sperm?
I think what they mean by that is that there's sperm present in the ejaculate, not
but
that they
they're also
eating sperm along with their broccoli.
Part of this balanced breakfast.
And it's one of the four food groups. Anyway, moderate, and whatever you would define as moderate flavor, would mean having only one or two of the sharp ingredients and none of the bitter ones. Mild would mean vegetarian, lots of celery, and no sperm in the ejaculate. And sweet would mean borderline diabetic or diabetic.
Sweet sperm.
Wow. So you could just go cruise that whole, like a diabetic facility. Are there diabetic facilities? A diabetic support group.
We don't lock up diabetics anymore in this country. Hopefully we're much more enlightened than the French are.
It'd be more helpful if you could.
Sure, there's some people out there. WRCT does not endorse locking up diabetics for their sweet ejaculate.
That's right.
Harnessing the power.
But go after those vegetarians if you want that moderate flavor, as it were.
Make me think twice. Well, I'm actually... I think one of the things that is fascinating about the whole topics, and especially when we get into the topics of gender differences, and I think this is something that everybody can relate to, and even whether you're straight or gay, it's a fascinating topic in terms of a lot of this show is going to be geared towards the anatomy of the orgasm or the pursuit of the orgasm and what it takes to get there. And I think one of the very fascinating things, the first difference we notice is the difference in orgasm between men and women, and even between men and men and women and women. I think one of the things, whether it's age or whether it's, other factors, I think some men tend to have more feminine orgasms or perhaps more female-like orgasms in terms of duration and also just kind of emotion, and then vice versa, perhaps. Some women who can come very quickly or have more traditional male orgasms. But anyway, I actually was doing some additional research.
I think I'm just a little curious. Can you define the poles here?
This is a fascinating area because I don't believe that, we can really lock down a specific... I don't think every... I think every orgasm is like a snowflake. And kind of
editorial note, this is because Chris comes like a girl.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. Which I think is good. We need some kind of definition. What does it mean to come like a girl?
Well, I actually found it really fascinating. This whole notion of like the premature ejaculation, just amazes me.
Can any ejaculation be premature?
Well,
any ejaculation
not
be
if
a
you
good
can
ejaculation.
Run your computer.
According
for 20,
to the woman, it can.
I guess, and it at least for myself, it's something that has always taken, and even in a masturbatory situation, it's always taking at least 10 to 15 minutes, and hopefully longer, especially if it's in a sexual
scenario. The orgasm itself or the...
No, wow. No, I can still walk.
What do you mean
afterwards.
The entire...
the kind of the pursuit.
The next act.
The long, winding road.
The build.
Exactly. Kind of a padless.
This is too abstract for me. So you start masturbating. 15 minutes later, you have an orgasm.
Boom. Hopefully.
And that's
if you've got that much time. But hopefully, maybe it can last a half an hour. Maybe it can last.
But
less.
The thing that disturbs you is you can't come in 5 minutes
or 30 seconds or this whole notion of especially even sex in terms of people going, oh, I had sex in this aisle of a grocery store or something like that. Like the concept of like. That is so foreign to me, and I don't know whether it's fair to say that that's necessarily a feminine trait, but I think the stereotype, and perhaps a very accurate one, is that women do take longer to ascend to that point traditionally. But I think there's another interesting thing, that a woman is actually still recovering, quote, from her orgasm an hour later, and is still turned on an hour later, kind of reeling in the effects, whereas a male...
Is asleep.
It's done.
Done, and in my experience, sort of disgusted, right? You're just like, you can't believe what you've been doing, and you never want to do it again. That's at least my reaction.
Whoa!
Especially if you've been doing something, unusually kinky or whatever. It's just like, oh, my God, what have I been licking, for example?
So you're saying you actually have a self... self-loathing type of cycle going on there.
It's WRCT does not endorse self-loathing. Neither would we recommend a particular type of self-loathing, but go ahead.
So, no, yeah, I do. And the feeling passes after an hour or so. I'm starting to
get back into
the horniness is starting to build again, and that very act is starting to seem intriguing again. But there is the period immediately post-orgasm where it's just like, I could just as well never have sex again, and it would be fine.
I think, yeah, I definitely think that that's the case for, I mean, I think at this point we do need to open up the phone lines and say, please call if you want to debate or share your own experiences, or if you're an expert and you have knowledge that we do not possess, 621 WRCT or 8 WRCT if you're on campus, and that's 412 area code and country code.
If you don't have little letters on your phone, that's, I believe, 9728, 621-9728.
Yes.
Or 268-9728.
So anyway, getting back on that topic, there's also, I guess, another fascinating difference in the male-female orgasm in terms of this kind of ascending roller coaster. If you could equate it to a roller coaster, as it were, you seem, and again, please call if you wanted to dispute this. But I think in terms of men, there's this kind of plateau that is much lower than the plateau that a woman raises up to before her orgasm. And I think you can definitely, the level of excitement for men definitely ascends and then drops before much more dramatically by orgasm than with a woman, where it tends to kind of hang out very close to that edge and then peak and drop. There's some interesting diagrams and graphs of this that have been drawn out, and maybe some Kandinsky paintings. So.
Well, I don't understand these. What are the units on the vertical axis of these diagrams? I guess
yeah, that would be an interesting thing. Like maybe, you know, how many phone books you feel like you could tear apart at this moment, or
is there a claim that women's orgasms, for example, are more powerful or more intense?
There is an issue. What is the fact about pain threshold? Is it 200% or like 400% increase in pain threshold while having an orgasm? There's some fascinating information about that. It is a very distracting moment, and you definitely, it does explain a lot about, dare I mention, the BDSM intrigue and why that can be so undeniably wonderful for some people. So. Does anyone else have interesting, intriguing comments, concerns?
Oh, well, before we get into that, it looks like we do have a caller.
All right.
So, hello, is the caller there?
Yeah.
Caller.
Hello?
Hi, caller, you're on the air.
You'll have to turn off your radio. We're getting some feedback, I think.
I have a question.
Yes, caller. Wait, caller, what is your name?
Stan.
Stan, hi.
My girlfriend and I are interested in simultaneous orgasm. Do you guys have any experience with that?
We have that book.
Here. I have some experience with that. If you want to look up in the database.
Yeah.
While I answer this question, you might be able to get some more background information on it.
Yeah, I've got
the list. There's a technique that I think works really well, and it sounds simple, but it's remarkably effective. I was inspired this by the recent mission to Mars, you know, Pathfinder and so on, landed on Mars on July 4th.
Bill did it for you, didn't he?
Exactly. But the idea is that the difficulty is that when you and your partner are together, even if you have orgasms almost at the same time, if one's delayed by even a few seconds, it's not
Stan.
So, Stan, I mean, have you tried any techniques, or what is it about the multiple orgasm, or the simultaneous orgasm, excuse me, that you find so interesting?
Well, I just want to make it happen.
Well, I think this is a noble pursuit. I mean, obviously, everybody does want that, and I think it's actually, there's some interesting things that we have as well. We have there's a fascinating novelette here about...
I have to interrupt you. Before you get into the novelette, let me just reveal what my technique is, and then you can just go...
Okay.
Go
and right. Excellent.
I'm actually interested.
Excellent. So the technique.
This is inspired by Sojourner and by the brave astronauts and scientists at NASA. It's the countdown technique. When you and your partner are close, one of you actually just starts counting down. You estimate how close you are, you know, 5 wow. seconds, 20 seconds, and then you just do 5, you know, slowly count 5, 4, 3, and 2. And the moment you get to 1, to blast off, you're synchronized, and it happens. It's beautiful. And this has worked for me with numerous sexual partners. It takes maybe a little practice to experience how it works and so on, but...
So I think I would, this is again where I think I would fail miserably. and I'm not sure how Stan feels about, you know, about this or whether, I guess it seems to put an additional
Sounds
pressure
cool.
In the situation. I'm not sure. Well, I mean, have you ever found that it kind of freaks the other person out to
well,
suddenly
I mean,
be
you
on
have
schedule?
To, you have or? To talk about it beforehand. I mean, you can't just start counting during the sexual act. Or they might start.
107, 106.
They might wonder exactly what was going to happen when you hit zero. Mm. But I think it works best with more partners who have a relationship and understand each other. So you plan it beforehand and maybe you can practice by counting down to other things. Maybe when you're eating, you can both swallow at the same time or so on. But I have found that it works very well. So
all right, I'm going to try that.
That sounds good, Stan. I think that may help.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Well, that was hopefully helpful to our caller. If anybody else has a needed help or additional questions, concerns, or things that relate directly to them, please.
So, Chris, when I interrupted you, you were about to read from a novelette about some kind of simultaneous.
There's some interesting things that. Well, actually, I think I'm completely in the wrong index of the novelette because I think it was in regards to the whole soixante neuf concept.
Excuse me? It's some kind of French?
The French for
69.
And I think this is really where...
Well, actually, I believe the Europeans refer to it as 57 because of what happened in World War II.
Really?
Yeah,
what was World...
Right.
What is that?
Well, you know, the whole Normandy thing set off everything by 12.
Okay.
Didn't.
Excellent. Wow. Excellent. Well, okay. That's a fact that none of
so
us...
So, soixante neuf.
I think what's fascinating about that is you really are in a situation where, well, obviously, if it's two men or two women, you tend to have your mouth full, and the whole concept of counting down may be a little... Maybe a little difficult, especially in terms of the simultaneity of it all. And maybe perhaps this whole concept of simultaneous is a real thing we could get into in terms of how often does that happen and how important is it, or is the turn-taking aspect something that can also be successful in conjunction with a lot of the sharing of sex. In any case, it doesn't necessarily even have to be soixante neuf. I mean, I'm just kind of exploring that in terms of especially the constrictions you would have in terms of communication with the partner, because often the temptation is, wow, this feels really great. I'm just going to stop and focus on myself for the moment, and then you leave the other person dangling, so to speak, as it were.
Don't like that soixante neuf. Not into that.
Not soixante neuf is another thing.
It's late BDSM.
That's a new children's
that's
story.
That's for the other thing.
With a nerf boomerang that always comes
very, very safe.
At you. You can't hurt yourself with it.
Well, actually, for me, the simultaneous orgasm is very important because of this effect of becoming very bitter and resentful after sex. So
you definitely want to share that.
You want to share the bitterness.
Well,
at the
same
time. Either
that or they better put you off until they're done.
Right, exactly. I definitely have to be the last one to come. Otherwise, otherwise things get ugly fast.
Wow. Just picturing Corey throwing chairs and small rodents around the rooms. I think I would be interested if we have any callers out there who share this kind of is this kind of all time drive for the simultaneous orgasm, and if it is as important to you, or do you have other techniques in terms of sharing? I think in a lot of my own experiences, the actual turn taking can can be really exciting, especially when the tables are turned. If you're used to, quote, going first, as it were, going second is a very different experience oftentimes. And I think that, that can kind of add a whole nother dynamic to the world of turn-taking.
Interesting. Well, if we I'd like to digress for a moment, because when you started the show, you were going to share with us, you had fascinating sphincter and anus stories to share with us. And I was actually quite interested in that, especially I didn't realize I had two sphincters. And if I had known,
you have a lot of other things. There's an interesting thing, and I think before when we get into discussing the end, first of all, I think we just definitely need to make it clear to all WRCT listeners that your anus is your friend. There's a lot of
friend.
Yes, F R I N D. It's hard to understand exactly where we got off the track of, or where we learn in our development to demonize our own bodies, especially that part. And I think it's very oftentimes, obviously, there's a certain hygienic issue going on. But I think what's very important here as a disclaimer is to realize that anal sex can be very safe despite the risks, but people should be very aware of the risks, especially of the sexually transmitted diseases. Gonorrhea, syphilis, and herpes can all affect the anus. Intestinal parasites, bacteria, even tiny bugs, which are usually passed along with fecal matter, finds its way into somebody's mouth or vagina. And say like a process like rimming. So these things do have to be, and of course the AIDS virus and HIV are completely, well, HIV is the virus, and that everybody is very well aware of how that can be passed. So these are issues that people should be very aware of, but I think oftentimes there are big fears in regards to this. And I think with careful diet and hygiene and a lot of trust and understanding, people can gain a whole new world with your friend, as it were.
Your friend, the anus. Well, I imagine, the Freudians would say that your fear and distrust of the anus comes from your childhood when you first learn potty training. You mm-hmm. know, your parents are making you, when you're really young, defecating is this wonderful thing, and you're playing with your own
fecal matter
and so on, and it's totally fabulous. And then, but you quickly learn that that's really revolting, and, the feces is something that needs to be flushed away and so on.
But yet we don't, even though we urinate through the same genitals that we have sex with, we don't actually demonize those in the same ways. We obviously are very self-conscious and perhaps overly self-conscious of our own equipment, but we certainly do not treat the kind of concepts of going down with the same demonization as we do in terms of things like rimming or things like going.
Right. I mean,
going further,
it's probably stating the obvious to say that urine is not as obviously objectionable as feces, right? I mean, it doesn't smell as bad. It's not as kind of
messy,
icky.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, water sports, which we will cover in our future Love Life topic, is something enjoyed by many. This is the intentional urination on a partner.
Yes, this is there is a whole other world as well.
Let me just add something to what you were saying there about the diseases and whatnot. I was reading something that, a guy was having a problem. He was interested in the whole anal end of things, and
so to speak.
And he was given some advice that, you don't have to start with the penetration. If you're feeling curious about this, you can start in a much more low-key way, exploration, touching, whatever, and before you even get into that whole high-risk area.
I think it's very important to point out that the highest concentration of nerve endings is around the anal opening itself, whereas a finger can focus on just that area, especially effectively, and then beyond that, there's other pleasures involved. However, there's, other things that occur. There's a spastic kind of response that the anus initially has, which does actually have to be overcome initially upon penetration, whereas if there's simple touching, it can be very, very stimulating. just because of the kind of nerve packets, as it were.
So you just said, so are you saying the anus has more nerve endings than any other area of the body?
It doesn't actually say that here in volume 5 of the anal stimulation encyclopedia we have here at WRCT, but it does definitely say that if we are to take the entire anus and the entire,
does that include the buttocks?
I would definitely say that
glutes, as they're called.
Yeah, I think if we're talking about, you know, the whole interaction muscles that you would have with one's anus, it would definitely be right around the opening. So
also, I mean, anal sex is of course something that's primarily or often associated with homosexuals, but I understand it's an activity that many heterosexuals engage in as well and enjoy.
Definitely.
It.
And women so, as well.
Well, that's an interesting thing, and perhaps we should, you know, we should turn the spotlight on our woman. in terms of
English
perhaps
woman.
stories she may have, or because I guess it's very different for men, and this is a question I've always had in terms of what is really in it for women. As the men have a wonderful thing called the prostate, which is very directly connected to the whole process of ejaculation and the, you know, kind of swells to this wonderfully engorged size when you are actually ejaculating and can really increase the whole shebang. Whereas women, what exactly is the attraction?
I'd like to interject that I have, as part of research for tonight's show, I actually have been anally penetrated, and I want to report that some of the most powerful orgasms I've ever had have been after being penetrated anally. I don't know if
after.
After, it's as if, not necessarily during, but it's as if that act actually enables some kind of pleasure bit in my mental CPU. For example, just the stimulation of that area means
where
that,
were you in the lab?
Well, you know, I was attached to all kinds of test equipment.
Right, I see.
The subsequent orgasms that I've had after anal penetrations have been like astoundingly intense. I mean, these are sort of teeth clenching, head banging, kind of powerful orgasms. And I've always considered anal sex the gift of a cruel god, because on one hand it's very pleasurable, but on the other hand it's got these sort of
drawbacks
and negative factors associated with it. So, but please, Jordan, anus woman.
I'm going to speak for all womankind now. Thank you very much. No, I think that I think a lot of women have never even thought about anal sex or played with it at all. I think that there's an overriding, well, maybe not overriding, but there's certainly an urban myth among women that if your man is asking you for anal sex, he's either gay or he's being abusive in some way. Because among women, it's considered like an abusive thing to want to have anal sex with a woman, a violent thing and a rape kind of thing. And that's just a very old-fashioned kind of, you know, because it's not for sex, it's not for procreation, and it's not supposed to give you any pleasure because women aren't supposed to like it. So it's a bad thing. But I think that a lot of women are slowly beginning to realize that you can get pleasure from it. Mm-hmm. And it's another... definitely another facet. I personally don't think that anal sex is that thrilling. I think it can be very painful for women because they don't have the prostate to kind of override that. Mm-hmm. All those nerve endings, I mean, they can go for good or ill, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think women have to be really careful because everything's so close down there on a woman that if you goes in one hole and slips in the other, you could be in big trouble because you catch a lot of things that way. So it's a mixed blessing. I think that if there's any women out there that are really curious about it and tried it before, I definitely wouldn't go for penetration first because I think you'll never go back. It's, I mean, definitely something to work your way up to.
Well, I think the penetration and the pain issue is largely due to this second sphincter, which you can't control. Mm-hmm. So
right.
Well. I mean, I think... anal sex need never be painful if you have an understanding partner and you yourself are in psychologically the right frame of mind.
Well, there's a fascinating issue. I mean, I guess one of the things with women, at least women that I've been with, have at some point with vaginal penetration, there's this kind of dilation and this kind of suddenly everything is like, okay, you know, like it, this is kind of open the gates and everything, like all the muscles become very relaxed. And this does happen with men too. So yeah. if you're able to relax enough, and that I think that secondary involuntary sphincter can actually realize that, okay, you know, this is a good idea. This is, you know.
But and there are also capacity issues too. I mean, as women who can have small vaginas and have pain when
small girl, small anus is what it comes down to.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was a rule of thumb, but that makes sense. So there are people. You can see people accommodating huge objects in their vagina or rectum, which other people would never be able to do without damage or pain.
There's an interesting the WRCT. Muff Diving FAQ 2.1, which we have here.
Oh, that's on the second CD-ROM, right?
Yeah.
Supplement.
Yeah, that will be part of the
textual material.
Yeah, it's fascinating. There's a lot of interesting things in here, actually. In terms of women, it's a lot about pleasing women, and especially in the area of cunnilingus. Mainly kind of the full-fledged assault on... And if I may use the term assault, not in a negative term, but in a pleasure assault, as it were, of fingers and mouth. And there's definitely the chapter, actually, the I guess it's a 150-page chapter on anal play, fully illustrated, by the way, which will also be appearing on the CD-ROM.
That's animated, right, with QuickTime or something similar?
Yeah, the QuickTime VR, actually, with the camera. It's really
360 immersion, and for people in the future, they'll have a sensory capability.
Like, we're working on the whole VR helmet thing too, but that's for that probably won't be out for the next year. There's apparently, and I've noticed this with men too, that there's a real excitement for the partner to feel what is going on inside your partner. Through the anus, oftentimes during orgasm, especially with women, there's definitely a rhythmic squeezing, as there is for men, and that can in turn kind of re-stimulate the other partner. Even if it is just fingers, it's just kind of this kind of feedback of knowing that there's a response.
Interesting.
Which is very important.
Yeah, I mean, definitely anal sex isn't all bad for women. I mean, it can be when it's good and when it's with a deft partner, it could be like having two vaginas,
mm-hmm.
I mean, which is pretty darn amazing. But I think that a lot of problems that women run into is if you're sleeping with a straight guy who's never had anal sex himself, he doesn't know what to do to make you comfortable.
Right.
So, I mean, even down to some basic things that almost every gay man could tell you, but, you know, a straight guy's not going to know.
Well, for our listeners out there, can we... hear the litany of basics?
Well, I
think that's what they'd be most curious about at this point.
I would say that the woman has to be, if you're first starting out, I think it helps to be empty down there.
Empty. For everyone.
Yeah.
Empty.
Enemas can help. Like, you just want, like, a nice, empty anus.
Shoot, as it were.
Yeah. Because if there's stuff up there, it can give you belly aches, and it's just, it can be uncomfortable, and that can be an added good thing later on.
How do you know if you're
empty? It can be messy, I Tim say. I mean,
and
I,
messy too.
I mean, part of the. I mean, I assume that for many people, I mean, it's possible to have anal sex. I mean, part of it being people's fear is that it will be messy or unhygienic. But I think it's completely possible to have anal sex without any encounter with.
How is that possible?
Go to the bathroom before you go to bed.
And also,
you
can
have the whole enema option as well.
Enemas are wonderful.
But you know what? I have to share with the listeners the most important thing to do.
Share, my friend.
More research.
Share.
This is a crucial fact that not many people know. Enemas are fine and so on, but the best way to do it is lots of fiber.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Daily dose of Metamucil. I don't recommend any particular fiber supplement or a bran muffin or, you know, grape nuts, for example.
Wheat germ, ex-boyfriend of mine, can of wheat germ,
and
in the closet every morning.
Not only does it have cancer-fighting properties and possibly will make you healthier, but it makes you regular and your lower rectum is squeaky clean.
WRCT does not endorse any specific diuretics.
Well, these aren't.
I've actually noticed that excessive amounts of coffee and nicotine also do the same thing.
Although we wouldn't definitely wouldn't endorse that over weed germ consumption.
Exactly. I think the overdosing on caffeine and cigarettes is probably not definitely doing anything good for the cancer-fighting cells in your body, but it certainly can be something that cleans you out, as it were.
So let me just interrupt and remind our listeners that if they have any questions, comments, or facts to share, 621-WRCT, 268-WRCT. And let's continue with Jordan, but let me recast the question. If I were a couple wanting to embark on an anal sex journey, what should the man know, what should the woman know if this is a heterosexual couple?
I think
step us through.
I think clean is the first part. If you're paranoid about catching something, touching something, get a warm washcloth, warm soapy washcloth. That can be a turn on too, you know. And
you mean in
wipe
wash.
The other person down if or you feel necessary.
Take a shower together.
That's another option.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, I mean it's all very clean. And I mean, look at the anus. It's not like a big hairy scary thing.
Wink at yourself. It's your friend. Wink,
it's just
wink.
Kind of a nice little pink or brown nub. So, I mean, it's not so bad when you look at it.
So, look at the anus, clean the anus, touch the anus. I guess
you realize there are actually, I'm not sure if anybody else has read the book Anal Pleasure and Health or Anal Health and Pleasure. I think it's actually Anal Pleasure and Health. There are actual anal kind of support groups for people who really have a serious issue and problem with comfort levels of their anus. I mean, and absolutely, like, in fear of even, you know, looking at it and all these other things. And part of one of the first techniques is to get completely naked, maybe perhaps after a shower, and get a mirror and literally stare at it, talk to it, just kind of touch it, be very interested and kind of comfortable with it. And it actually apparently works wonders for people who really just haven't ever, you know, taking a good gaze at their own body, which is fascinating that somebody can, you know, kind of go that long. But
I believe we do have a VRML model of the anus on the CD-ROM, is that right?
So, yeah, it's a wireframe, so it definitely.
But it's a, also, I believe there's a variety there to so you can match to your situation.
Yeah,
very true.
So, other tips for comfort, if you're playing around with penetration, you want to take that leap. Suggestions from my personal experience would be don't shove yourself into the woman because you're going to hurt her. Use lots of lubrication and let her kind of back up onto you, I think is a good way to go about it, because then she can take it at her own pace.
I think you can do these sort of gentle forays too, sort of penetrate just a little bit and then back off and get relaxed and penetrate just a little bit. But indeed, I think you're right, to let the recipient guide the process.
I would like to also add that in any amount of penetration, a lubrication
much
is
lubrication.
Key.
Although,
unless of course you're
looking for lack of lubrication,
right?
Which some people find a turn on, but usually that's more for the giver than the
getter.
Yeah,
I think for starters, probably it's best to warm up with a very.
And push out is the other thing that I remember being helpful for the.
What does that mean?
Getter.
Push out.
Just, you know, tense your sphincter muscles, but push out
kind of as
like,
if you were excreting.
As if you were.
Isn't there a danger of actually excreting when you're pushing out on your poor partner's
hence
member?
The reason for getting
the
clean
fiber.
Beforehand.
Get all your business done first.
Right. Don't bring in the business to the bedroom. Well, I mean, that's another show, but
which we had, I believe. But
yeah, we did, didn't we?
And I know there are actually certain stores and catalogs which will actually sell like a whole kind of spectrum of size dildos if a woman
stretching
or a man
dildos.
Is not stretching dildos and things that kind of ways of working your way up in size, butt plugs, other accessories which can definitely be of assist, especially some butt plugs which actually end up being tapered so you can kind of work from a very small diameter to a much larger one.
Well, what if I'm anally curious and I'm too embarrassed to buy one of these butt plugs at a sex shop? Is there anything I can get at, say, Giant Eagle?
I mean, food. God gave you two good hands, too. I mean, with fingers of varying sizes. Those will work just fine. I mean, keep your nails short and your hands clean.
There's
also rubber gloves. That can help.
There's another factoid I learned on the fisting video series we have here in the library, the 12 cassette. That will also be digitized on CDs. It's fascinating, but actually, and this is a very well-known fact, and even on in kind of the fisting circle, it's very well-known that, you know, if you are to engage in this behavior...
So fisting is the act of actually inserting
an entire hand.
Sometimes up to the elbow, I've seen photographs of as well.
It's important to realize the inner walls of your anus, well, not of your anus, I guess at that point it's really your rectum. The inner walls of your rectum are the consistency of wet paper towels. And that, if you can imagine, you know, snagging a nail in something like that can be extremely dangerous.
We're not talking about Bounty or one of the stronger paper towels. Right.
I think you're...
Giant Eagle brand. I mean...
Well, we definitely don't want to not endorse the right. Giant Eagle.
Not that we're not endorsed, but it wouldn't make good rectal wall.
Right.
but you're saying it's delicate, basically.
It's very delicate.
But hold on, I mean, fisting is a pretty extreme behavior in the anal spectrum. I mean, I think only hardcore.
But definitely when it comes down to nails, I know I've hurt people before.
You fisted someone.
Not fisted, but in terms of penetrating somebody with fingers, actually ended up hurting somebody not fairly tragically. I mean, it ended up, you know, kind of, we got past that, but at the point it was very painful.
And getting hurt there is like,
it's very
you painful. Feel it head to toe.
Yeah. And so, I mean,
you have to be careful.
Is that a permanent thing?
I mean, no.
But at the moment, it's a yow.
Yeah.
You definitely sit up and take notice. I would recommend, a lot of guys don't know how to cut their nails so that they don't cut people, get a nail file, like cut them short, cut them round, don't leave hard corners at the edges, and put the nail file underneath the edge of your nail and go one direction, and that makes it smoother and less sharp.
Health and beauty tips as well.
Hey,
is available.
You could actually open your own manicure shop specializing in nails specially designed for safe
and anal manicure, only $9.99.
You could get. I wonder if you could carve little ridges into your nails for added pleasure. Sort of
really?
ribbed
nails.
And that could
pleasure.
Work. That could work in penetrating the vagina as well.
Really?
Interesting.
Might have a marketing thing on.
I think WRCT will be marketing that in the future as well as part of that.
Oh, so one thing.
Well, that would be. We would actually be giving it away since we do have a non-commercial license.
Ah,
we can't actually sell anything. But as a public service, we will be making that information available.
Those press-on nails, as it were.
We're bartering for your love. Oh, so one last thing about women and anal sex is that you definitely have to be careful. I don't know what the fluids are that happen during anal penetration, but, I mean, there's definitely, like, sweat and bacteria.
I believe technically it's called butt juice.
Is that the technical
butt
term?
Juice, yeah.
Not to be confused with BJ.
Or the other, what was it, tracks? your factory from the
Pecker Trails.
Pecker
Trails.
Sperm graveyard.
Exactly. We could see a whole other element of trails happening here.
But you definitely want to keep yourself clean, make sure there's nothing getting into the vagina, because you can end up with some nasty bacterial vaginismus, which is something no one wants to come down with. So
this is why women, after a bowel movement, wipe from front to back.
Front to back.
Important WRCT tip, wipe from front to back.
That's actually going to be on our next T-shirt, I think.
Even if you're a male and feel that you might eventually have
female genitalia.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
Get into the good habits.
Front to back.
Wow.
Can't. And leave the seat down. The two tips from diversity. Okay.
Excellent. Well, we're certainly covering a lot, and I think we'd like to also entice our listeners to give us a call. We do have 10 minutes left, and we are here to answer your calls with our vast WRCT Sex Talk Library.
We go out in the field for you.
Exactly. I mean, we've spent months researching and accessing all of this information. Yeah.
So I'd like to propose a topic then.
Okay.
That would tap into this vast experience of research. Seems like we found out a bit about anal sex, and now I want to know about oral sex as the next appropriate topic. So I don't know. This might have to bleed into the next show. but so to speak. 10 steps to the perfect...
Perfect male?
To the, I don't know. Where should we start?
This is very interesting.
We go either way there.
I mean, I suppose my experience is limited to many women and one man. And then obviously my own experience.
What?
Many women. Okay. We reduce that down to three.
So getting from three women and one man.
Right. Or and by getting and giving.
You are the one man in that scenario.
I've had. Oh, I believe we have a caller. We're gonna have to hold on that story.
Interesting.
All right, let's hold
caller.
On.
Are you on the air?
I think so.
Yes, caller. Hello.
Hi.
What is your name, caller?
But caller, we would ask you to turn down the radio because we can hear you in the background, and
sure.
It's a terrible feedback problem.
My name is Ralph.
Ralph, what fascinating tidbits of information do you have to share with us today?
I was curious to know if y'all had anything to say about tantric sex. I've played with it a couple of times, don't have any great expertise.
Ralph, you've stunned our panel of experts, and I'm getting my database keeps crashing when I look that up on the
actually, it's interesting you should ask that question, because now I'm remembering the second half of what Juan was studying out in the field, and that was actually tantric sex, and I don't know, that kind of blew my mind from before, but...
I've also done a field assignment in tantric sex, believe it or not.
Oh, we do have an expert.
Wow.
What is enlighten?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong here, Ralph. Tantric sex is a Far Eastern practice of reaching higher levels of sexual gratification, and can last for 7 hours at a clip. And there's some very prescribed rules about. You know, how many thrusts and how many shallow thrusts, how many deep thrusts, and how long between, and when you should stop stimulating a woman, and on and on. Does that sound correct?
More or less. And you can be more or less strict with the rules, but the attitude is not to go straight for the orgasm, but to prolong it. So in my own experiences, I have managed to that stay erect and maintain sex for an hour. Mm-hmm. And it's very different from the typical sex.
What are the techniques involved in this prolonging? Is it kind of
think about your grandmother?
Yeah. Are there distracting pursuits going on? Or
more of the relaxing, not thrusting very much, certainly, but rhythmic breathing in synchronization with your partner.
So where does one go to learn about tantric sex?
I learned about it from the World Wide Web.
Ah.
Actually, I have accessed our entry on tantric sex from the database.
Jordan was able to not crash it.
And it says here that tantra refers to the Vedic Hindu doctrine that is designed to extend sexual unity and bonding. Couples find this brings more ecstatic pleasure than a quick orgasm. Hindus at one time only used this technique under the guidance of a guru or other couple to ensure that the correct procedures were followed. And it all goes on to say that there were similar sexual techniques in other cultures, including the Chinese and American Indian and African tribes.
Was there some kind of explanation of the joy of this in there, or
is it
a purely
says,
scientific pursuit?
Well, it says, tantric students fine-tune their senses so that each becomes one with the universe and with their partner. It's actually a very spiritual bonding. It's
kind of a cosmic orgasm.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So, Ralph, tell us, is this primarily spiritual, or is it actually, I mean, bottom line, is it more pleasurable than kind of the old standard way?
The old school orgasm?
It's different. I've done it a few times.
Well, different good or different bad. I mean, toaster sex is, you know, different, right?
It's apples and oranges,
wow.
I would say. Correct?
Jordan's right. I mean, I would happily do it again, and I enjoyed it. But I still like the regular sex, and am not going to let that replace my regular sex.
could be very time-consuming.
It's extremely time-consuming and energy-consuming as well.
I get the feeling that regular sex for you isn't really what most Americans would consider regular sex.
Just from the tone of your voice.
or the laugh. But I think that's it's definitely something that I think all of our listeners should look into, especially listeners who are interested in prolonging things. I guess for me, it's already a process, so I think I actually need the opposite of tantric sex, the get it done quick version, perhaps.
I have some book recommendations if any of our readers are listeners are interested in reading more about it. Of course, WRCT does not professionally sanction such book reading, but titles include Peekskill Publishing offers books such as Sexual Energy Ecstasy by David Allen Ramsdale. And
Ramsdale?
Yes. And Intimacy. Yeah, he must be an expert. And Intimacy and Sexual Ecstasy by Jonathan Robinson. So those are two books you may want to check out.
And so, Ralph, do you have for our more technically or technologically advanced readers, do you have a URL for the Tantric Web Center?
If you give me about 2 minutes, I can look it up. I don't know on my hand.
All right. Well, we'll just have 2 minutes of radio silence then.
No, I think that would be.
We'll wait in the background for you to look that up, and
we'll continue with our discussion for the remaining
two or three minutes.
So we were.
Yeah, Ralph, you're just going to have to interrupt us at the point where you find that. We were discussing kind of the oral sex guide, I believe. Or
by the way, Sting is actually the famous artist. Sting is one of the big proponents of tantric sex in the U.S. Has been known to go for 7, 8, 9 hours at a clip. So
good Lord. Really?
That just adds to his already apparent hotness. But that's just an editorial comment.
Well, WRCT does not endorse the fact that Sting is hot.
Well, maybe if Sting were having less tantric sex and spent more time in the studio, he'd be more productive musically.
I found a URL for you.
Oh, here we have the URL.
The data is in.
http://www.ecstaticsex.com.
Wow.
That's ecstaticsex.
No space.
Spelled like it
sounds. /sex/jade/jade.html.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Ralph. That's incredible.
And thanks for calling in with an excellent topic.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, I need it. What's the top 10 tips to the perfect,
to the perfect orgasm?
Do I get to speak for all of womankind?
Yes, the perfect.
More
the
womankind
perfect,
speaking.
The perfect man or woman's oral sex guide.
Oral sex?
Really?
Yes,
I think
top 10.
The best way to learn how to, I think all women come differently, which is just the sad truth for straight men everywhere. Just got to learn with it. And I think the best thing to do is have her masturbate and show you what she does to herself and learn something from that. And don't try and make one steadfast rule and apply it to everyone, because you're going to end up really boring some women and really exciting others. But if you want to be good all the time, ask her what she wants. Ask her to show you what she wants.
I think another thing is just basic, and if you can do it, and I think it's actually a kind of a crime that more couples don't or don't do it sooner, is actually go step by step and going pros and cons with a woman. I know at least I've made big errors woman to woman in terms of levels of pressure of certain parts of the vagina, where what one woman found wonderful, another woman
found... The other
found
one went through the roof.
Excruciatingly painful. Exactly. And that was really fascinating to me, and definitely something to look out for. And I'm sure it's very similar for men as well. I actually wonder if perhaps, I mean, at least in terms of my gay experience, it's been very similar. I mean, not similar, whereas I've actually found the male response very similar to my own, but I wonder if perhaps anyone else within the room has had any experience with someone who perhaps was very different than they were.
Interesting. Well, actually, no. I've actually pretty much found I've got a pretty, in my limited gay experiences, completely limited within the WRCT laboratories. Right. I've found that, well, I mean, different people like different things, but I've never hurt anybody, or I've never, mm-hmm.
Not by accident.
In my toolbox of pleasure, you know, some people like some tools more than others, but I've actually never run into the situation where someone says, oh my God, you know, stop you monster. So maybe that says more, maybe that says less about my technique and more about my endowment, since we have heard that.
Limited as it is.
Also, my experience with many different men and many different penises has shown me that it's hard to hurt a man. I think sometimes you can get to the point where they're just like, ooh, too much, but
this
beyond that. Pleasure.
It's hard to hurt a man's penis, you mean?
Yeah.
Except
his
for
heart is another matter.
Aww.
The one thing you can do is bend the penis when it's really erect. If you like jump on it and bend it in half,
you can actually break it.
And
yes,
it's
you
really
can.
Bad.
You can break it.
Yes. And that is not another show.
Not an injury that's easy to recover.
The university certainly does not endorse even talking about breaking the penis. Well, I think actually we're pushing our time envelope. So
we are out of time.
I think it's
And, of course, as always, you're listening to 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh.
And any closing remarks?
Bend the penis only when soft. That's my final comment for the evening.
I actually was doing the Bible sex facts research, and I actually found some really wonderful information about quotes from the Bible in regards to sex, and especially the simultaneous orgasm. This from Corinthians 7:25. Then come together so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. This is the classic definition of Christian marriage. Or maybe not.
That's beautiful. I think nothing more.
I think, you know, if the Bible says come together, maybe it is perhaps the divine way to do it, as it were. Anything from
talk to
else?
Each other, be good to each other, be careful, have a good time,
and have fun.
Good night.
Oh, I see animals. Let's take a walk on the moon. Come on.
The proceeding was a production of WRCT Public Affairs. Listen every day at 5 p.m. for fine WRCT Public Affairs programming. Only on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. If you have comments or questions regarding this or any WRCT Public Affairs program, send them to WRCT Public Affairs, 1 Margaret Morrison Plaza, Margaret Morrison Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213. Or send email to gh1w@andrew.cmu.edu.
You've been listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. We now conclude our broadcast day. WRCT is owned and operated by the Carnegie Mellon Student Government Corporation under licensed authority of the Federal Communications Commission in order to serve the public interest. WRCT broadcasts at the assigned frequency of 88.3 MHz with an effective radiated power of 1,750 watts. Our transmitter and directional antenna are located atop Warner Hall, 5000 Forbes Avenue. Comments about our programming can be sent to our business office, which along with our